ஆத்மம் தேவிம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாஸம் தத்தோ ஜயம் உதீரயே நஷ்ட ப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதி ருதமா ஸ்லோகே பக்திர்பவதி நைஷ்டகீ. கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய தேவகீ நந்தனாய ச நந்தகோபகுமாராய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நம. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேன்டோ 11 சாப்டர் 28 வேர்ஸ் நம்பர் 29. குயோகினோ யே விஹிதாந்தராயே மனுஷ்ய பூதே ஸ்த்ரிதசோ ஸ்ருஷ்டை தே ப்ராக்தனாப்யாசவலேன பூயோ யுஞ்சந்தி யோகம் நது கர்ம தந்திரம். குயோகினோ யே விஹிதாந்தராயைர் மனுஷ்ய பூதே ஸ்த்ரிதசோபஸ்ருஷ்டை தே ப்ராக்தனாப்யாசபலேன பூயோ யுஞ்சந்தி யோகம் நது கர்ம தந்திரம். குயோகினோ யே விஹிதாந்தராயே மனுஷ்ய பூதே த்ரிதசோபஸ்ருஷ்டை தே ப்ராப்தனாப்யாசபலேன பூயோ யுஞ்சந்தி யோகம் நது கர்ம தந்திரம். குயோகினோ யே விஹிதாந்தராயே மனுஷ்ய பூதே த்ரிதசோபஸ்ருஷ்டை தே ப்ராக்தனாப்யாசபலேன பூயோ யுஞ்சந்தி யோகம் நது கர்ம தந்திரம். குயோகினோ யே விஹிதாந்தராயே மனுஷ்ய பூதே த்ரிதசோபஸ்ருஷ்டை தே ப்ராக்தனாப்யாசபலேன பூயோ யுஞ்சந்தி யோகம் நது கர்ம தந்திரம். வாட் டூ வேர்ட் மீனிங் குயோகினஹா, தோஸ் பிராக்டிஷனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் யோகா ஹூஸ் நாலேஜ் இஸ் நாட் கம்ப்ளீட். ஏ ஹூ விஹித இம்போஸ்ட் அந்தராயை பை ஆப்ஸ்ட்ரக்ஷன்ஸ் மனுஷ்ய பூதை இன் தி ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் ஹியூமன் பீங்ஸ் தட் இஸ் தேர் ரிலேட்டிவ்ஸ் டிசைபிள்ஸ் அண்ட் சோ ஆன் த்ரிதச பை தி டெமிகாட்ஸ் உபசிருஷ்டை சென்ட் தே பிராக்டன ஆஃப் தி ப்ரீவியஸ் லைஃப் அபியாச ஆஃப் தி அக்குமுலேட்டட் பிராக்டிஸ் balena on the strength bhuyah once again yunjanti engage yogam in spiritual practice na never to however karma tantram the entanglement of fruitive work. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some of the progress of imperfect transcendentalist. Sometimes the progress of imperfect transcendentalist is checked by attachment to family members, disciples or others who are sent by envious demigods for that purpose. But on the strength of their accumulated advancement, such imperfect transcendentalists will resume their practice of yoga in the next life. They will never again be trapped in the network of fruitive work. Purport. Sometimes sannyasis and other spiritual teachers are bewildered by flattering followers and disciples sent by the demigods to embarrass spiritual leaders who are lacking complete spiritual knowledge. Similarly, spiritual progress is sometimes checked by attachment to one's bodily relatives. Although an imperfect transcendentalist may fall down from yoga practice in this life, he will resume it in the next life on the strength of his accumulated merit, as described in the Srimad in the Bhagavad Gita. The words na tu karma tantram indicate that a fallen transcendentalist does not have to pass through the lower stage of fruitive activity and gradually be promoted to practice of yoga. Rather, he will immediately resume his yoga practice at that point at which he left it. Of course, one should not presume to fall back on the facility offered here, but should try to become perfect in this lifetime. Sannyasis especially should remove the knot of lust from their hearts and should avoid falling into the clutches of flattering followers or female disciples sent by the demigods to expose a so-called spiritual leader who is imperfect in Krishna conscious knowledge. Omagyanti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamishcha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamishcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta namastute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas so that I can speak something on this topic, the discussion today here from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11 chapter 28 verse 29. And hope that I speak something in line with the parampara, which is relevant for our understanding today. So this verse says about kuyogino ye vihitantaraye. It's talking about the kuyogina. And who are these kuyogina? Those practitioners of yoga whose knowledge is not complete. Say the sadhaka, we can say. Even in the previous verse 28, there is a word kuyoginam, wherein it is translated as the imperfect yogi. So because we are talking about the Gyan Yoga here, this chapter itself describing about the Gyan Yoga, the Advaita philosophy, So here the imperfect yogi is mentioned. Now Krishna talks about the Gyan Yoga in the previous chapters also. It's not that only in this chapter he is talking to Uddhava. We are discussing now the Uddhava Gita. As we know that Krishna in the later stage, at the last stage, wherein Uddhava comes and speaks to him, understanding that Krishna is going to end his pastime and desiring that he wants to accompany Krishna back to Godhead. So Krishna tells him that he has some other work for him. And later on he tells him the Uddhava Gita. So in that, there is enough ample time. It's not like the Gita of Arjuna where the time was limited, 45 minutes in the battlefield. So Krishna describes everything to Uddhava quite leisurely. So he talks about Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga. Many places he has spoken already about Karma Yoga. And now at the end of this Uddhava Gita, we see this is almost the last, but one last chapter. Last chapter is about Bhakti Yoga. So here in this chapter, Krishna is talking about Gyan Yoga, the Advaita philosophy, having already spoken. So here he is talking about the Advaita philosophy. One who considers this world to be unreal, or some says imperfect, temporary, and the spiritual world as real. So the Advaita philosophy, one who speaks about this Gyan Yoga, here is discussing about that. And here the Ku Yogina, the verse says about the Ku Yogina, means this previous last verse, and this verse is talking about Ku Yogina, means the one who is imperfect, one who misses the point or is not able to follow it. And this verse specifically talks about what happens if he falls down. He's not able to complete the process. And this verse says that he will begin from his next life, from the place where he left. So that's what this verse talks about. So that means the talk is going about a yogi. And here we end up saying that what happens if a person is not perfect yogi. So about before this, if we see the conversion that is going on, it starts with Uddhava asking the question in the Gyan Yoga only concept, that how is it that the soul, which is different from the body, Advaita philosophy, so the soul and the body, Prakriti and the spirit discussion is going on. So in that, Uddhava in the verse 10, he is asking to Krishna that how is it that body, which is temporary, unconscious, jad, and the spirit soul, which is conscious, pure, satchidanand, without disturbance, how can they both be connected to each other? Who experiences the material anxieties? Because soul is satchidanand, is pure. It has no connection with these material things. But we see that in this material world there is a misery, lamentation, fear. Then there is no point of soul experiencing that. On the contrary, there is a spirit body which is jad, unconscious, can't experience, body can't experience. So then who exactly is experiencing this pleasure or whatever, the miseries? Because material world, mostly the miseries. Pleasure is so-called. So who is exactly experiencing? So that's what the Uddhava is talking in verse number 10 to Krishna. And he's confirming that body can't experience, nor can the soul. Because soul is happy. So how can it experience the misery? So Krishna says yes. Though the objects are unreal, samsara does not cease. Krishna is telling, this objects, body, senses, these are unreal, but samsara does not cease to exist. We are experiencing, and he gives the example, just like a person absorbed in an unreal dream experiences fear. So Krishna says, yes. body is different, the soul is different. Just like a person, when he is in a dream, the dream which is unreal, and the person who is sleeping, he still experiences the unreal objects and goes through the real emotions like fear, lamentation. So the dream is unreal. The person is experiencing the real thing, fear and all. So Krishna is telling, so samsara does not cease to exist, it continues. And he gives some connection. Then what is that connection? How is that body is connecting with the soul here? So then he goes further and says that shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha spruhadaya ahankaryasya drishyante janma mrutyuscha na atmana. It's not the atma which is experiencing, it is ahankar which is connecting, not the atma. The connection point is here is ahankar. That's what Krishna is telling. And then he tells, just like when we sleep, ahankar is actually gone. When we are sleeping, there is no ahankar. In a deep sleep, sorry. Sleeping has many, dream state, deep sleep. So consider when we are in a deep sleep, we get up in the morning quite fresh. When we dream, our mind is actually connecting with the things. And we experience fever, lamentation. But when we are in a deep sleep, we know that we slept nicely. So why? Because we slept nicely. Because we are not connecting with any events. Who is connecting? Ahankar is connecting. So in a deep sleep, ahankar is not there. So no connection. This happened to me, that happened to me. It is sleeping. The ahankar is no connection. And the soul goes through that experience of deep sleep. So soul understands that. When it wakes up, understands, oh, I have slept nicely. So ahankar is not there. Though Krishna talks here about ahankar is the connecting point, but question may arise, in a deep sleep, even ahankar is sleeping. That's why one day, when Gaurang Prabhu was giving brahmachari class, he was telling, so what would you do when you are disturbed? Somebody says something to you in the seva, what would devotees generally do? So he was taking some answers from the devotees, and some devotees were telling, we do this, we do this, we go and confront, we complain. So one devotee, he said, Damodar Prabhu, he said, I just go to sleep. So if you understand, what happens when one sleeps? So when we sleep, when we are not sleeping, we are connecting with that point which has disturbed us. So we are thinking about it. How can he say like this? How can this happen? Or how can I do like this? So we are connecting, constantly thinking. But when we go to sleep, we are not connecting. So it's that ahankar which connects. So when we sleep, especially the deep sleep, we forget that thing for a short time. And then when we wake up and have a different perspective. Of course, one can go back and start thinking the same thing. But at least we get a different perspective. Other day, this one brahmachari was telling that it is good to go to different places. Come out from the zone where you are. Because we tend to always being in that zone, think in that pattern. But when we go out, go to different place, suppose if we are in our room throughout the day, our thinking becomes similar. Same objects that we see. But if we come out from that, or sometimes come out of the temple, sometimes go to the different temple, air changes, situation changes, external environment changes, we get a different outlook. So in that way, it helps. Gaurang Prabhu says that if somebody is very disturbed here, you should go out and preach. So now why he is telling go out and preach? A person may be very passionately disturbed here in outside also, he'll go and preach and he'll get frustrated there also. So his point of telling go out and preach means do something different. Look from different angle, different perspective. Do something different by which he'll get a different perspective to see it. So similarly, the ahankar here which is mentioned, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that does not experience that, this shoka and all. Does not experience. Why? Because it's unconscious ultimately. The ahankar is also unconscious. Thus the samsara does not belong to ahankar either. So he brings out an interesting angle. Krishna is telling the shok, bhoy, moha, lobha, everything, ahankarasya drishyate, are caused by the ahankar and not by the atma. So one may think that is because of the ahankar which is happening. But ahankar is also unconscious. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that that's why sanskar, samsara does not belong to ahankar either. It's very interesting. You know, this Gyan Yoga topic is very interesting. We can use the discrimination to understand it. This word discrimination, which comes here? Viveka. Somewhere it is mentioned one has to use his viveka, discrimination. And in Gyan Yoga, of the four aspects, viveka is one of the important aspects. Discrimination is very important aspect. In outside world, this discrimination is taken in a negative connotation. It has got a negative impact. You said, oh, they are discriminating. Should not discriminate. Everything should be equal. Outside people, they say that. But actually, when you say that one should not discriminate, it is like saying to a person who has an ear, not to hear. How can that be? So discrimination is there, given to us. So we have to use it. Of course, when somebody talks about discrimination, everything is... And certain thing, discrimination is quite simple, you know. We know that we have to discriminate. Like red, white and black. It's common. You can discriminate easily. And discrimination has to be there. One has to use discrimination. Otherwise, somebody goes and parks in the place where it is not parking. The parking is not allowed. Or somebody goes in a train and catches a bogey, which is a ladies' bogey. He'll be beaten up. So he has to discriminate. So gender discrimination has to come. In a bus, ladies sit, not to sit. Again, discrimination. We have to use our discrimination. So certain discrimination is quite obvious. From white and black, day and night. That discrimination is quite simple. But when it comes to the subtle discrimination, then comes the point. That's why here you kuyoginaha, which is mentioned here, he cannot discriminate his attachment. He is getting attached to the family members, to the disciples, prophet, adoration. He can't. That's why imperfect. So when it becomes to the subtle things, it becomes very difficult, even for the practitioners of longer time. That's the problem. So discrimination is not bad. Discrimination should be there. And in Gyan Yoga, that's the main aspect. So something is good to discriminate, something should not be discriminated. That understanding is there. Where to discriminate, where not to discriminate, that understanding should be known. And from where we get to know this? So this discrimination, how can one understand? It comes from the wisdom, from the knowledge. So when we get the knowledge from the devotees or the sadhus or transcendentalists for the Gyan Yogis, and from that knowledge comes the wisdom which gives us the understanding. What is a correct discrimination? A correct understanding. That's why it is said that Acharyat Padam Adatte. This knowledge, 1/4 quarter comes from the Acharya, from the transcendentalist. Padam Shishya Samedhaya. And quarter comes from one's intelligence. So one has to use one's intelligence. So having heard from the spiritualist, one also has to use one's intelligence, understanding. Because a teacher can give us knowledge, but he can't give us the understanding. That we have to reflect, ponder upon, think. That's why it's a good time at the times when we are sitting, we can think about what's going on in my life. Where am I? So swamedhaya, that understanding has to be there. Padam sa brahmacharibhya. And quarter comes from other brahmacharis. So with whom we are staying, they may see something which we may not see. Because they are outside, they are seeing us from outside. We are seeing based on our mind and intelligence, but they are seeing from outside. So it's very important to have brahmacharis. Of course, outsiders may say that, grihastha may say, oh, here is brahmacharis needed. No, it means that other people outside you. This is sa brahmacharibhyam is the student, what brahmacharis, this quote, this loka is quoted. So for others, it's like outside person. Maybe for a husband, wife. That's why when grihasthas, they sometimes come to the brahmacharis to ask the questions. Why? Because they can look from different perspective, unattached. Because they have nothing to do with anyone, husband or a wife. They can look at the incident from a top view and understand it. That's why people, they come and want conclusion or the solution from the brahmacharis. Or their thought on this. So, padam so brahmacharibhya. Padam kala kramena cha. And some, it comes with the time. The time passes, we understand it. Kuyogi, here it is mentioned when the obstacle comes to this kuyogi, the imperfect yogi. Now what kind of obstacles would come to a yogi? And then that too sent by the demigods? Demigods have the time to create obstacles. Is that their job to create the obstacles on the transcendentalist? It's not needed. Our mind, intelligence itself is creating a lot of obstacles. So what is the need of demigods to come and interfere in our lives for imperfect yogis? So it's not needed. Devotees who are practicing, say any new devotees who are practicing Jnana Yoga or even the Bhakti Yoga, there are people enough to give them a lot of disturbance, obstacles, obstructions. Their own mind. First, their own family members will tell them. Bahut practice karta hai. Suddenly started practicing and we know how much you are practicing. Family, neighbors, friends would say like that. Their own mind would create disturbance. Because they don't know many things in the scriptures, not read. They have just heard now from some devotee and they started practicing, chanting. Just yesterday, one lady from Qatar called me and said that, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, do you know me? I said, no. She said, we met in Mumbai somewhere. I said, okay. And she said, I'm going through so much trouble here in Qatar. I said, what happened? She started telling that in my office, nobody is listening to me or they speak evil things about me. I felt sorry for that. And I said, why don't you change a job? She said, I have changed jobs many times, but everywhere same thing happens. Before that I told that, why don't you complain about that person who is telling you evil things to the authorities? Why don't you do that? He said, I did that in my last job and I was sacked. I said, oh, is it? Then how many jobs you have changed? He said, many jobs, the same thing is happening. I said, wait a minute. If same thing is happening, then have you thought what's going wrong? Maybe it may be from our side. She said, no, 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 I'm chanting Prabhupada mantra, I'm chanting Hare Krishna mantra, how can I do wrong? I said, oh, is it? Which mantra you are chanting? Prabhupada mantra. She said, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktamanda. I chant. I do mala of this. I said, how many mala? I said, I do one mala. And Hare Krishna mantra, one mala. I said, would you mind? You better do Hare Krishna mantra. And this Jai Sri Krishna, you chant once before starting. And you chant Hare Krishna mantra. And you read, you hear the lectures. You continue mantra, no problem, but you hear the lecture. But she still, because she was telling that, why these things is happening to me? I said, you better go and read, hear the journey of self-discovery. Especially the topic where why bad thing happens to good people. She said, I just called you so that I can understand from you. I said, I cannot speak on phone many things. You better get in touch with the devotees there in Qatar. There will be devotees who would, you personally go and connect with them and they'll be able to help you. So people's thinking, understanding is different. their perspective is different. So itself, mind itself creates a problem. Sometimes for the devotee it helps. Like for initially, like one devotee called and said that, Prabhu, this is the, we are discussing now in a lockdown situation, we are discussing with our neighbors and the friends on the phone, we are discussing Gita. So the questions come. There is one question which came upon. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Gita somewhere it was mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at this age. So then other devotees, other people who were new, they started asking to this new devotee, how can one take sannyas, leave the mother? Isn't it wrong? And this devotee was stuck, not knowing what to answer. So called me and asked, Prabhu, this is happening, what should I do? Why don't you join in? I said, I have so many other engagements, I can't join you. But it's good for you, you continue preaching. That's how the questions will come up to you, upon you, and you will try to find out. So when we go through this education process, then our intelligence enhances. So of course, then I connected with that person, with Mataji, because she was conducting program. So I told that I would give you the number of one devotee, Mataji, and she is there in Krishna consciousness many years, and I don't see her conducting programs, but you can invite her so that she will also get benefit, and she knows the answer. So that's how I connected them for that program, and I don't know what happened later, but this is how. So sometimes it helps. The mind is an obstacle, but it also helps. Now, these are for the new devotees. Now, for the seasoned devotees, they also have the obstacles of their mind. But then they become used to and they know how to tackle. But then there comes another obstacle, very subtle. Profit, adoration, distinction. And sometimes, even uncontrolled senses. So here it is mentioned. So we were going through this discussion between Uddhava and Krishna about Ahankar. So even Ahankar is not. So then how, what is the solution? And then Krishna, he mentions about this discrimination, which one can get from the perfect yogis. For a devotee, it's a spiritual master who gives us knowledge. And with that knowledge, one can cut that attachment. With that sword of knowledge, one can cut the attachment. That's what Krishna mentioned to him. And then he can see everything. No difference between this body and even the soul. This is Advaita philosophy. So Krishna is telling that by this process of cutting with the sword of knowledge, you will not see any difference between the body and the soul. In fact, you will not see anything, no difference between the body and the soul. So the effect is the body, the soul is the premier thing. And then the effects that we see through the body, mind and the senses, which is the effect, even during the interim stage, it will not be seen. The difference will not be seen. Because it's all ultimately Brahman. Gyan Yoga, so it's like all everything Brahman. Initially the Brahman was existing. The effects is Brahman. And even the intermediate stage is all Brahman. Sarva Brahman, Kaloidam Brahman. Now for devotees, one has to understand that though they are simultaneously one, it's still different. This world is real, but temporary. Devotees looks from that point. So Krishna explains in that way. And that ultimate understanding will only come with a self-realized, when self-realization happens. Like when person is woken up, he understands that everything I was seeing was unreal and it was a dream. He's woken up. But by the time he's not woken up, means one who is not self-realized. So even a sadhaka to the end step, senior person, still he undergoes through all these difficulties, obstacles does come. So it's not like demigods are meant to create the obstacles. Here it is mentioned that demigods create obstacles created by the demigods. No, demigods are not there to create obstacles. For those, actually they ensure that wrong person does not get the right thing. So that's why demigods sometimes create. We hear in the scriptures, you know, Indra coming and doing this, doing that. So why he does that? And especially to the yogis, not to the devotees. To the yogis, because their process which they are following of renunciation, like a Jnana Yoga means the renunciation process. Ultimate thing is Brahman or Krishna. So means the process is different from the end result. But for the devotees, the process and the end result is the same. So for the devotees who are practicing devotional service, the end result is devotional service. So demigods are not interested in creating the obstacle for the devotees. But just to ensure that it does not go in a different track. So for the Jnana Yogis, mostly the demigods comes into picture and they create obstacles so that to understand that what he really wants. We see in Narnarayan Rishis, Indra tried to create obstacle. Now that's the Leela where Krishna is showing that I am the Yogeshwara, ultimate yogi, I am the perfect yogi. And he shows through that Leela that he is the supreme. Otherwise somebody may say that, oh, demigods are creating obstacle. They may be something higher. But no, Krishna is telling, see, my avatar, Narnarayan Rishi are the highest. They came to entice Narnarayan Rishi, and Narnarayan Rishi in the return gave him Urvashi. Take more beautiful thing. You know, what you think? So Lord, through this pastime, he makes us understand many things. How he is supreme. The position of demigods. But demigods, because they are assisting Krishna, they ensure that wrong person does not enter or get certain things. And also, they are also attached to their position. So when the wrong person, means whose aim is not Krishna, they try to perform austerities, means they have desire to take the kingdom of Indra also. So even Indra has his insecurities. To address that, also he does that. So Krishna here is so merciful that he is telling, I will give another life. In the next life you will continue from the same place. So merciful. We can understand how Krishna is so merciful that he allows person to go through and through in the next life, continue from there. In Gita also, 6th chapter, when Arjuna asks the yogi, the one who is fallen, like, kam gatim Krishna gacchati, aprapa yoga is sam siddhim, that way yogi, dhyan yogi, who does not achieve aprapya, sam siddhi, he does not achieve the siddhim, what will happen to him? What gacchati? Where he will go? So Krishna assures him that partham naiva na atra vinashya tasya vidyate, uska vinash nahi hoga. But what will be the reason? Papya prapya punya kritam lokam usitva sashvatam samaha, for a long time he will enjoy in a higher lokas. And then after enjoying, seizing his desires of enjoying whatever he wanted, then he will come back in this world and enter in suchinam shrimatam gehe yoga bhrashta vijayate. So a bhrashta yogi will continue in the suchinam shrimatam gehe. If he falls down immediately after practicing for a short time, if he practice for a long time, then what happens? Krishna tells that he will get into a transcendentalist, a yogi who has performed for a longer time. He will get birth in that place. And he will immediately remember and start from that place only. So we see that it's Krishna already telling in many places that don't be afraid, will be taken care for any transcendentalist. Things will be taken care. Because sometimes people get into depression, not able to achieve Krishna Prem, how will happen? It happens. I remember when I was in Talwan base, I came to temple one time here, Saturday, Tuesday attended program in Talwan base, and then decided to join the base. And joined the base next week, when I got the permission, started wearing dhoti kurta, tilak, honoring prasad, it went so fast that any relative or cousin would come to me, I would tell them to practice devotional service. That's the only thing. Do this, do that. And my counselor, he saw me there talking to one of them, somebody, and spending hours preaching. So he just passed one comment. He said, "Can everything you will do in one day only?" So I started thinking, why is telling like that? Everything you do in one day only? So then after preaching to few more, understanding some will take, some will not take, we understand that everyone takes time. Somebody will take immediately, somebody will take time. So Krishna assures, nothing will go in vain. He's so merciful. To Duryodhana, when he came as a Shanti Dut. So you see, the Duryodhana was such a cunning fellow, and to him also Krishna is giving, okay, you also take benefit. I am still giving you understanding. Please return back the kingdom. So though Krishna has promised to the Draupadi, when that Vastaharan happened, and Draupadi said that, "Krishna, you also did not came." So Krishna came and the other thing happened, and Krishna says that, "I will see to it that I'll take revenge of this thing, and this Duryodhana will be destroyed." Krishna promises. So if this thing has happened, how can Krishna go and as a Shanti Dut and really would want to forgive the Duryodhana? Because he has promised something to Draupadi that he'll destroy Duryodhana. So is he really wanted that thing? Then what will happen to the promise of Draupadi, given to Draupadi? Somebody may say that, no, Krishna actually just spoke for the sake of speaking. But no, he was serious in his sincerity. He was giving chance to even to the Duryodhana. He was serious that Duryodhana, he was explaining him, "Baba, please." Everybody was telling, "Baba, this is no use." Vidura told, "This is no use in Duryodhana because he is such a cunning fellow." But Krishna is still giving a chance. Why? Because he is equal to everyone. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. He does not envy anyone. So even to the transcendentalist, we see the mercy of Krishna actually. From this shloka we can understand how merciful Krishna is. He is giving us a chance. Like he gave to the Duryodhana. Somebody may say that if Duryodhana would have agreed, then what would have happened to Draupadi's promise? But would Draupadi want to have the revenge even after Duryodhana bows down to his knees and asks for forgiveness? She's a Kshatrani. Anyone who bows down and accepts the mistake, anyone would forgive. Then what to speak of such a great lady like Draupadi? So that is not a question at all. So that's how we understand how merciful is Krishna. He gives a chance. But then in this verse, it is mentioned, a caution is given. Of course, one should not presume to fall back on the facility offered here, but should try to become perfect in this lifetime. One should not presume. Because Krishna is telling, okay, next life. So somebody may say that, okay, let's do it next life. You know, why to hurry? So here the caution is given. One should not presume to fall back. What is different between presume and assume? When you assume something, there is no evidence to some. There is no proof. You just assume without any probability or something. But here Krishna is giving the evidence, saying that, "I will take care in the next life. It will be taken care in the next." You start from that instance. So this evidence is given. So somebody may take this and say that, "Anyhow, I'll get chance. I'll start from where? So thoda sa relax." No. So that's why here a warning is given. One should not presume to fall back. So in presume means you suppose, but based on evidence. In assume, you suppose, but not based on any evidence. So one should not presume to fall back on the facility offered here, but should become perfect in this lifetime. So one has to endeavor. One has to go through the purificatory process. In the end, the process is given. So this attachment for a yogi, one is falling down, what should he do? So the end of this chapter, in the verses, it is mentioned what is the process should follow. Purificatory process. Next chapter is Bhakti Yoga. So Krishna is going to tell. Say, so I'll just read what's... We'll not discuss on that because that will be taken up by other devotees. But I'll just mention, because the obstructions here are mentioned, so the Krishna says, Yogadharanayat kamschim asaner dhananvite tapo mantra aushade kamschid upasargan vinirdhayet. So vinirdhayet can be eradicated. Upasarga, the obstructions. So here the obstructions which are mentioned, created by the demigods. So Krishna is giving the solution here. These obstructions can be eradicated. How? Yogadharanaya kamschid. For some it is yogadharana. What is yogadharana? By yogic meditation. And for somebody, asana dharananvita. So by the yogasanas, along with the meditation on the breathing exercises, for somebody, that may be the thing. Tapo mantra aushadhe kamschid. And for somebody it may be austerities, tapasya, or maybe some Ayurvedic medicines. If the obstruction is in the form of a disease, then medicines and maybe some mantra. The other day, Govind Prabhu was telling that somebody came with some problem, money problem, and if you tell him, chant Hare Krishna, how he is disturbed by the money problem, how can you tell him, chant Hare Krishna? If a tooth is aching, you have to go to the dentist. You can't tell him, chant Hare Krishna. So we see here, mantra, aushadhi is mentioned. Krishna is also telling the same. It's not, he's only telling, in the next verse, he's telling, Harinam Kirtan, by Kirtan, that's the ultimate, regular solution. But before that, he's mentioning Ayurveda medicines, mantra. So there's a difference between Ayurvedic medicines, mantra and yoga. So mantra, if your body is paining, some disease is there, take the medicines. And if you are disturbed by some other things, which is by the daiva or something, then maybe you can go and find out the reason. Some astrologer, somebody, understand why it's happening regularly. And maybe he'll give you some mantra. So somebody goes through the mantra. And of course, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is there for our transcendental problem. Actual identity. That what is our constitutional position. For one who does not know that, is not connected, that's the ultimate solution. But otherwise, different solutions are given. So these are the purificatory process which are there. And in the next verse, he mentions about the Harinam Kirtan. So Basankirtan. So that's chanting of the Hari name is the ultimate thing. Before that, he gives all other things. These are all the purificatory process which are mentioned. Purification, that's saucha. So asaucha, it comes, so in asaucha, it comes from the root word such, means cleanliness. So that which cleanses. We know that even in our day-to-day activity, we see that there are many things which contaminates. So asaucha, when you apply asaucha, means that which contaminates, unclean. So what are the things which contaminates? So when we go to some places where some death has happened, or some birth has been taken place, or we cut the hair, go pass urine, stool, or have eaten something, contaminates. So these are mentioned. And certain things are easy to understand. You know, when you pass urine and stool, we become contaminated, easy to understand. But certain things, how it's difficult to understand. Like death happens at one place. How is it contaminating? I remember to the brahmacharis was mentioned that is it allowed to go when there is a cremation happening or some marriage happening? What is the stand of brahmachari? Should they attain, not attain? And I remember His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj mentioned. Means the devotees or authorities said that, Maharaj said that basically one should avoid. Should avoid. Of course, when it's very close and some unavoidable circumstances, one has to go, but otherwise should avoid. So now somebody may think that, okay. But if you understand why it is, when some death happens, why it is a contaminating? Because it's a emotion ramification, which results into despondency, grievances, and pain in the heart, which is contaminating. So the emotions at that time is very high, the pain in the heart is very high, where the death happens. So it has to be cleaned. How it has to be cleaned? It has to be cleaned by grieving, mourning. That's why that mourning period is given. For a Brahmana, the mourning period is 10 days. For a Kshatriya, it's 12 days. For a Vaishya, it's 15 days. And for a Shudra, it is 30 days mentioned. Mourning period. It's a purificatory period. Why? Because they have to go through that process. Because if they go through that, emotions are released and they get pure, purified by that. Therefore, many times it is mentioned that one should read the Gita or some Puranas at the time, Garuda Puran. Why? Because it's mentioned there, some things are mentioned by which one become detached by hearing that. Of course, detached is for some time during that period. But at least it's given so that people understand the things, they grieve and then they relieve, get released, so that pain does not remain then. Why? Because when we are practicing daily activities or sadhana, and if that pain is there, then one will not be able to focus or will have a grief. Okay, so one understand, okay, because of grief one should not. And for Brahmana, they are meant to understand the things and temporary nature of this world, so it's easy. But for a Shudra and all, it takes time. That's why 30 days are given. Now, okay, for grief if one may understand. Now, why about the birth time? Why it's a contamination time? Somebody may say, okay, grief, death is grief, okay. But why about birth time? Why it is contaminating? Everyone is happy. So that question somebody may ask. How it is contaminating? Even during the birth time? Because lot of bleeding happens and lot of discharge happens, fluid discharge happens at the time of a birth, especially first few days or weeks of a child. And again, the emotions are so high, elated emotions. Parents are going through elated emotions and there's so much of discharge happening. So it's a contamination. Krishna tells to Arjuna that Samaha, you become equipoised even in the elevated time. Not only the distress, but even happiness. One should not become more happy when happy situation comes. So be balanced. So that's why the emotions are high there. Again, it's a contamination phase. So these are the day-to-day the purifications that are given. It purifies. Like even the Achman we do. When we do the Achman, the mind becomes purified, peaceful to practice whatever activities we are going to do. It is said that when we undergo this purification process, what benefits we get? We get a clarity of intellect, a pleasing mind, focused awareness, and control over the senses. Now these are the things that we, when we do this Achman or simple process of taking shower, these are the benefits that we get. So that the activities that we perform are in a peaceful way. Otherwise when one is disturbed, one should not. Because if they practice during that time, then their focus is not there, and then they do it imperfectly, that brings reactions and that person goes to the suffering. So when one is disturbed, one should not do it. Now somebody may say that, Prabhu, we are always disturbed, so should we not do it at all? Somebody may say that. So there is a difference between normal disturbance and abnormal disturbance. So when death happens, a person is grieving so much. So this is like abnormal disturbance. So at that time one should not. But in a normal disturbance, if one does not do, then he'll never do it. The minds are always disturbed. So at that time in normal disturbances, one should do it. One should perform the purificatory process and continue the process. So that's how here we see in this verse that Krishna is telling to Uddhava that one who does not, a kuyogi, one who has not attained perfection, when he practices, even he does not reach to the ultimate goal in the next life, he will start from that place. And then we will see that how Krishna is giving different solutions to create go out from that obstacles. So with this we stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya.